Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Yes, and welcome to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express. Billy Taylor via the phone. He's away and enjoying Thanksgiving with the family. But you can check us out each and every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 on NFLAlumniMedia.com, NFLAmedia.com, or AlumniMedia.com. Check us out. You can live stream us there. You can check us out via recording on that website, or you can go to YouTube and check us out. But we are here each and every week talking Giants, Jets, and the world of sports. This week, we got a lot to cover. We're going to talk about the first Giants win in a long time against the Washington Commanders, and how the Jets have really just turned their fortunes around, maybe by announcing Tim Boyle as their starting quarterback and have demoted Zach Wilson all the way to third-string quarterback. Hey, we got a lot to talk about, a lot of exciting games. Are the Philadelphia Eagles the best team in the NFL? That's the question I'm going to ask Billy a little bit later. But first, let's talk about our Giants and how they got that amazing win versus the Commanders. Didn't start off great, Billy, but it ended up pretty good. Give me your thoughts about the win on last Sunday.
Well, see, the thing for me is I don't know if Washington is that bad or the Giants have improved, because they sacked DeVito 9 times and he made some good decisions.
Well, we're having a little problems with Billy. Okay. Go ahead, Billy. We couldn't hear you. You were coming in and out.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. They sacked him 9 times. And I don't know if the Giants are not really good or Washington is terrible. Like, Washington's got to be one of the worst teams in the league. But then again, every time Saquon had the ball, he looked good. DeVito hit some good receivers. They got some really good plays. He's definitely, should be considered at least the second backup. So I don't know what to say. What did you think of DeVito's performance, CW?
I think it was pretty good. I think it was what we expected based off of his performance in preseason. I was thinking I would see this guy the last two times he was in there, the last 2 weeks, and they're letting him throw a little bit more. Obviously, they don't have a choice but to let him throw a little bit more. But you can see that he's still young. He's still really green. He did make a couple of mistakes throwing the ball. He doesn't have a really strong arm. I would have liked him to escape the pocket a little better, but you can only do so much. As we'll see and we'll talk about from a Jet standpoint, you have to have a defensive, a great offensive line, or at least a good offensive line, to at least give you some time in a pocket so the quarterback feels comfortable to go through his reads or just get the ball off quick. And I think we're going to be asking a little bit too much of DeVito getting the ball out quick. So you got to pass protect it. I don't think they did a good enough job giving up 9 sacks last week to actually be excited about anything outside of the run game.
Well, the thing that I was worried about was, how would they perform as a team with not many of their players out? But DeVito threw a great touchdown pass to Saquon Barkley. I thought it was one of his best of the game. And Barkley should be utilized in that way. He has improved at his pass catching, his running routes, his ability to pick up the blitz. They don't highlight him as much as they could, but maybe they don't want to kill him. And maybe that's the reason for that. But I was really happy for the victory. It was something for the Giants. They needed it because, it's kind of a motivational thing. I don't believe in tanking. People are talking about, well, the Giants should get the number one pick or number two pick and get a quarterback. Your thoughts on that, CW? Do the Giants need a quarterback?
I think they do need a quarterback. We've all seen the Daniel Jones experiment go up in flames. I don't think that he will be back in time for the start of the season, at least healthy enough, given what we saw with Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray with similar injuries, even Joe Burrow with injuries. When they come back too soon or not soon enough or don't have a good training camp, they're just not the same type of quarterback that we saw. And Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow are elite level quarterbacks who may not need as much time or preseason time as others, or even training camp time. But we're talking about Daniel Jones here, who has yet to prove that he's an upper echelon quarterback or even a quarterback deserving of almost $50 million per year for the next 4 or 5 years. So when you just look at those tangibles, it just makes you wonder why not draft a quarterback. And I'm nervous to begin with. If we're talking about the draft and the quarterbacks coming out in the draft, if you look at the top three quarterbacks that started this season, we're talking about May, we're talking about Williams, and we're talking about the kid from Washington. The only person that's really still excelling is the kid from Washington. I'm not very impressed with the kid May out of North Carolina. I'm not very impressed with Caleb Williams based off of the last 4 or 5 games he's played. He's looked suspect. And if you wanted to play the game of stay away from certain types of quarterbacks, stay away from USC quarterbacks, a la Sanchez, who we saw had a terrible time with the Jets, and Dave Brown at Duke, right? When you go past, especially if you're a New York team, those are two schools you probably want to stay away from based on past experiences. What do you think?
Well, see, the thing for me is that, you know, I've always talked about coaching, and they talk about Daboll, Coach Brian Daboll, being a quarterback whisperer. Because you look at Josh Allen of Buffalo, he did a good job with him. Danny Jones, his first year, did a good job with him. Look at DeVito. He's gotten better with the coaching of Brian Daboll. But my thing about it is that they say over 50%, Charles, over 50% of the quarterbacks who get drafted don't make it. They don't come through like they're supposed to. So you're taking a chance. And that's what makes me bad about when they compare running backs and quarterbacks, because the running back usually, you know, he gets hurt too. But the quarterbacks, they got 6 quarterbacks. They're starting quarterbacks that are out with injuries the rest of the season. So, you know, I just think they got to come down a little bit and not make the quarterback the big deal. But you can't help it, because if you don't have one, you got to rely on your defense. So I didn't see anybody, not Williams. I saw the guy Penix in Washington. He throws a good deep long ball, but I need to see the short ball. Your thoughts, correct, CW?
No, I totally agree. But if they don't draft a quarterback, or even it could be in the second or third round, but if they don't draft a quarterback, I don't believe Tyrod Taylor is an answer either. Unless you start changing the offense like they're doing, a la what Houston Texans are doing, what Tennessee Titans have done, as long as they've had Derrick Henry, their thing is run, play, action, pass, and don't put the quarterback in position to having to throw 50 times a game. But if you don't change your offense to meet the talent you have on your team, I just don't see them winning next year with the quarterbacks they have on their roster currently. And so something has to change. Maybe Kyler Murray will become available, because he looks, to be perfectly honest, even though Arizona lost last week, he looks good. And that's the conversation. I think that's where you turn the conversation to, if you were with the Giants, are there any free agent quarterbacks out there, a la Joshua Dobbs, who's having an amazing, amazing run? This kid, yes, was a low round draft pick, a backup who had to start, traded how many times? 3 or 4 times, and has a chance to go to the to actually be a playoff contend. He's with a playoff contending team with the Minnesota Vikings, and has a chance to send them to the playoffs. He's doing amazing. This is an exciting story, and there aren't too many guys like that out there. And you know what? The sad thing is about the Giants is that Joshua Dobbs may be their starting quarterback for next year based off of what he can do this year. And Kirk Cousins' time, although he has a guaranteed contract, he may be relegated to a backup.
Well, I'm not a fan of Kirk Cousins at all. But see, I think that the way the situation is, Charles, is I think that maybe you may have to go the route of finding a veteran quarterback instead of taking your time with the rookies, because some of these rookies don't even show up at all. I mean, look at Carolina with the number one draft pick, and they're 1-9 or whatever. I just think that maybe you need to get a quarterback that's still being his third year. The thing that I heard, Charles, was that because Brian Daboll coached at Buffalo, would you trade Josh Allen to the Giants for a number one pick? And I was thinking about that. And at first I said no, but then I thought Josh Allen was good under Brian Daboll, and he's got all the intangibles. He can run. He's strong. He's big. And I think that might be a good trade. It took me a couple of seconds to think about it. But your thoughts on if Brian Daboll could trade for Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills?
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
You know, I think when I think of Josh Allen, I think of a guy like Philip Rivers, who has a strong arm, some mobility, but never was able to get over the hump. And the way you see how the Bills are performing, they had a great game last week against the Jets. But the way you see him perform week in and week out, can you win with him? I don't know if we have the same mindset as the Seattle Seahawks. Think about what they're doing with Geno Smith. They have put Geno Smith in a position to become a great quarterback in the minds of Jets fans because they saw him when he wasn't a good quarterback. So he went from poor to great because of a scheme, because of a system. And I think because of their system, because they don't want him throwing the ball 50 times a game and they rely on their run game, it's truly based off of coaching, understanding the players you have around it, and kind of forming a scheme or a strategy or a system around your players instead of making players fit your system. And that goes to my next question to you, Billy. Do you think, because there was some talk that there is going to be coaching changes at the end of the season for the Giants, where do you see, if there are going to be coaching changes, where do you see those coaching changes coming from?
Well, I don't see any for the Giants. I really don't, because I think it was just a tough year for Brian Daboll. But I look at Carolina, they're only 1-9, but I think they got a future. I think that Minnesota could be under the wraps. I'm not sure. The L.A. Chargers, definitely, I think they need a change because he's messed up so many games by going through the aesthetics and not making the right call. They've lost so many games by not kicking the field goal, going for two. And I think you need to get rid of coaches like that. And see, every year there's 8 or 9 different coaching changes because the team's not performing up to capability. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But I was referring to the coordinators. I mean, Wink Martindale, Mike Kafka. A lot of the media reports are saying that there will be some changes with the assistant coaches on Daboll's staff. Do you think Mike Kafka deserves a second chance to redeem himself? Do you think Wink Martindale's system has run its course and it doesn't work with the guys that he has? Or do you put all of the onus on the DB's coach for the young guys not performing well, even though the defense has played well? What assistant coaches, if any, would you kind of consider as being under the gun of not developing their players as fast as we would probably like?
Well, I would hope that Brian Daboll would take over the play calling. Sometimes head coaches don't like to do that, but he's at his best. When he was in Buffalo and led him to the playoffs, he was the offensive coordinator calling the plays. So I think that would get rid of the offensive coordinator. I wouldn't get rid of the defense. The only thing that makes them mad on the defense is that they go in so much man situations that they don't allow the other stuff to work. If you don't get in a pass rush, then your defensive backs are at stake. And I think that's the only thing I don't like. But I like Wink as a defensive coordinator, and I hope they can continue to keep him.
All right, that's awesome. And that we will surely see how that plays out. Hopefully here this weekend, they pull off another exciting win. They have a chance to beat old arch nemesis Bill Belichick and New England Patriots. We'll talk about that in the fourth quarter. But you're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express on location via phone. And Charles, show me the way here on NFLAlumniMedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30, or stream us live on NFL Alumni Media, or check us out on video at your earliest convenience on YouTube. But we have more to come. We're going to talk about the Jets changing quarterbacks, naming Tim Boyle as their starting quarterback. And what's next? Do the Jets really have a chance of making the playoffs? We'll be right back and talk about that and more in a minute. Back, you're listening to the Expressway here on NFLAlumniMedia.com. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express, Billy Teller, on location for Thanksgiving holiday. We have just finished talking about the Giants and how excited we were that they won the game. But what are the changes? What's going to be next? If they should have a quarterback, whether any of the offensive coaches will be fired. Got a lot to talk about. But let's turn our attention to the Jets, because they just made maybe one of the most important decisions probably of their franchise history, because they just benched Zach Wilson and actually relegated him to the third string quarterback. So he probably won't even suit this weekend.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Billy, what do you think? Is it long overdue? Should they have done this a long time ago, or are they making a quick decision and not actually letting Zach get a chance to really get his feet wet some more?
Well, two things, CW. Number one, because he's a top draft pick, they had to give him every opportunity in the world to prove himself. Okay, when I look in his eyes during the course of a game, he looked like he's scared. He's never been relaxed at all from a quarterback position. And I think that it's too much for him being in New York. Number two, it was a great move that should have been done sooner. They may even have a better record if it wasn't for him, because there's a couple games where he threw interceptions late in the game that caused the Jets to lose. I don't think that he's a quarterback that can be and lead a team. It may take some years, and maybe because of Aaron Rodgers, you know, he can improve. But see, if you don't make the adjustments yourself as a player, then how can you expect the coaches to do it? So I thought the Jets made a good move a little bit late, but we'll see. Because when the new quarterback, Tim, comes in, he throws it to Wilson. Wilson catches it, but he fumbles, and that kind of takes away the momentum. If they had been a little different on that, then maybe the game would have been different. He would have had more opportunities, because you look at that stuff and you want as many opportunities as you can to be able to put your team in position to win. So I don't know if Tim's the answer, and I don't know yet, but they still got a chance for the playoffs.
I agree. I totally agree with you. You got to blame the receivers. Lazard seems like he hasn't caught a pass since he's come back. So I'm not a fan. I mean, I think the reason why Garrett Wilson is struggling is because he doesn't have confidence in his quarterback. I don't think he has confidence in Zach Wilson. So he's trying to do too much. So a lot of the problems that we're seeing on the Jets aren't Zach Wilson's fault. Think about the turnover that Garrett Wilson had at the beginning of the game. That's not Zach Wilson's fault. Everybody's putting a lot of this on Zach, and it's not Zach's fault. I agree that they probably needed to make a change at quarterback to change the mojo or the dynamic or the feel of the team. But you can't put all of that onus on the Jets being the way they are on Zach Wilson, because I think he's performed pretty well over the course of his tenure while he's been playing.
Yeah, but my problem is that quarterback gets all the blame when they lose, and he gets all the credit when they win. So they can win something like 33 quarters without a touchdown. I think that's ridiculous, Charles. And that kind of makes me mad because, he didn't do anything when he was in there. You got to score touchdowns as a quarterback. Even if you come in and throw the bomb and it works. You got to do something to get your team better. So I think that, he probably is the reason the Jets have the record that they do. I'm not blaming him for everything, but when you don't get touchdowns, who's got to leave?
Well, and I wonder who we're going to blame this week, because Tim Boyle, who has a ton of experience with Nathaniel Hackett and his offense, it's a guy that's been around Nathaniel Hackett for a while, is very comfortable with Nathaniel Hackett, and his offense should have no problem just coming in, understanding the schemes, knowing where wide receivers are supposed to be. Now it's going to be a telltale sign. If you don't see a better showing from the offense based on the change in quarterback and based on a relationship that Tim Boyle has, do you think Saleh should think about replacing Nathaniel Hackett next year?
This is not going to happen until Aaron Rodgers gets his opportunity, because Aaron Rodgers is the reason that Nathaniel is there. And, they're good friends. He was at Green Bay with them. So I don't think that any changes will be made, because otherwise, if you do, you're going to make Aaron Rodgers mad. And Aaron Rodgers brought his people in, and then, he got a couple of receivers, Lazard, who I don't think is very good, like you said. And I just think that you can't do anything to make Aaron Rodgers mad. And you just got to go with status quo until next year. Next year, if it doesn't go right, then you have a reason. Because I thought that the coach should have possibly, if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, should be fired this year because of his lack of indecision about the quarterback position. So, there's skepticism about it, but I think nothing's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think Nathaniel Hackett, a lot of blame has to be put on Nathaniel Hackett's lap as well, because he has great talent around. There was great talent around Zach Wilson. Obviously, we talk about Breece Hall. We talk about Garrett Wilson. We talk about their tight end, who's done an excellent job. And think about this. A tight end or receiver for the Jets did not catch a pass until the third quarter of that game.
And it's whose fault is that?
And it's ridiculous.
Zach Wilson.
But that's lack of time. He didn't even have a lot of those throws were pressure throws, and albeit Buffalo has a great defense, but he didn't have any time to look.
My thing, Charles, is that I watched quarterbacks over the years. You have to make an adjustment at a quarterback position if you're not having time to throw. And I watched Brady, his offensive line got bad when he was in Tampa. He got rid of the ball sooner. I think he had the best time in getting rid of the ball, which is like 2.1. You got to do that if you don't have the time. As a quarterback, you know when you're under pressure. I remember Eli used to just get rid of the ball at a certain time because, he didn't want to take the sack or he didn't want to take the hit. And so I think that Zach Wilson, he's made some good strides, but he's been around long enough. This is his third year where he should be able to make the decision to get rid of the ball quicker. And what I mean, Bez, when you come to the line, you should be able to see by putting somebody in motion who's in man coverage. So you should predetermine as a quarterback who you're going to or who you're dumping off to. And I didn't see him do those things, maybe a couple times. But see, if you're going to be a good quarterback, you have to make the adjustment.
I totally agree with you. But I don't – so as much as we want to bash Zach and the offense, the defense didn't show up either. I mean, they gave up 29, 30, almost 30 points in the game against the Bills last week. And so what do you make of that? Because when you're a team that's trying, that still has a chance to make the playoffs, at least one side of the ball has to show up. And if you're a great defense, you want to be that type of team or that particular unit that actually propels your team to win, making plays, getting interceptions. And I didn't see that last week from the defense. So how do you feel about their performance?
Well, see, I think they have been counted on all year long to make sure the Jets have a chance to win. It's hard to do that with no offense. It's hard to do that when the offense is three downs and out. It's hard to do that when the offense is not putting up any points on the board but field goals. So I think you're prone to have at least one bad game from a defensive standpoint. And usually a team, and you've been on teams, Charles, where maybe the defense didn't play as well, but that day the offense stepped up and scored some points. So I just think that they've been so disenchanted with their offense, and hopefully this move, when they move the quarterback, Zach, out, then hopefully this will help them to go to a higher level of performance. But, you know, during the NFL season, every year a defense or an offense will have a bad game. And that's when your other team, your special teams, and your offense is supposed to come in. But that has not happened last week.
Mm-hmm. And so with seven games left, and when you look at where they are with seven games left, do you think they can win nine games total? So that's really, they're 4-6 now. They got to win at least five more games out of the next seven. Do you think there's a possibility of the Jets winning five of the next seven?
Yes, I do, because the new quarterback in Tim, I think he's got a chance, and he's been watching film, you know, the whole time, what Zach is doing, what Zach's not doing, and I think he's got an opportunity to make it right. If they win five out of seven, that puts them at nine. I don't know if it's going to be in the playoffs in the AFC, but I think it puts them in contention, because Cincinnati's quarterback has gotten hurt. Lamar Jackson is up and down. I think Baltimore's still going to go to the Super Bowl, possibly. And who's good enough to beat the Eagles? I don't know about that. That's my problem.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's a great segue. We're going to close out this section on the Jets. We have a lot more to talk about. In the third quarter, we're going to go through the standings, look at the whole NFC, AFC, see where each and every team is, talk about who's in the playoff picture. And then I want to talk about the power rankings. I want to know your top five teams in the NFL based off of last week's games. But we got a lot more to come. Hang on with us. We'll be right back in a moment. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here with the BT Express on location in Atlanta via phone. We are here each and every Wednesday from 10:30 to 11:30 on NFLAlumniMedia.com or NFLAmedia.com. Check us out each and every Wednesday live on our streaming website, NFLAlumniMedia.com. If you can't check us out on our streaming site, you can check us out on YouTube at your earliest convenience. We always upload the videos every Friday for you to check us out, catch what you missed live on Wednesday. We're going to now roll into our standings. We like now to go through, if I use our third quarter, just to see what the weekly standings are. We want to talk about the NFC East, talk about the AFC and what the playoff picture looks like. So you get an idea, you get a feel from us of what our expectations are as we move forward through the upcoming week. This week, we're going to talk about the NFC East. And obviously, the beast of the East are the Philadelphia Eagles. They had an exciting win versus the Kansas City Chiefs. They had a comeback win. You thought Kansas City was going to rout them before halftime, but they come out and score two unanswered touchdowns to beat the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Billy, what do you think about the Eagles and their performance last week against the Chiefs?
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
I was impressed. I'm not going to lie. I think the Eagles' defensive line and offensive lines played well. I think Kansas City played well. The thing about it is that Kansas City leads the NFL in drop passes. And the thing that it's hard to do is you can't get on somebody when they're dropping passes. The coach has got to do that. It's hard for a player to sit there and say, listen, you got to start catching the ball. I have to say this real quick. When I played for the Raiders, which was my fifth year in the NFL, they had a great wide receiver named Cliff Blanch. He was a speedy guy. And they had a coach for the Giants named Pat Hodson. And every time somebody on the Giants dropped the ball, he'd say something like, way to knock it down. So when Cliff Blanch dropped a pass in practice, he came back to me to the huddle and I said, way to knock it down. He got so mad at me. I mean, he told me that he wished I got cut from the Raiders. I mean, he said he was so mad. And he made the Hall of Fame. But he was one of the fastest receivers in the NFL. He was like Hill of Miami. Once he got out there, nobody can catch him. So I made a mistake by, you can't tell somebody when they drop the ball. You got to figure out a way to get it to them in a nice way. You can't sit there and say, you can't do that. And I learned back then that you got to be careful when people drop the ball. But the guy that dropped the ball when Pat Mahomes threw it at the end, I don't see how a ball can be thrown any better. He laid it in his basket, and then he didn't come up with it. And then the play before that, the tight end missed the ball. And then Kelce had a bad game. He missed about a couple passes that he should have, and he fumbled. So I don't know, is it Philadelphia doing it, or is it Kansas City making mistakes?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Obviously, Philly is a juggernaut on defense. They probably have the best defense, arguably the best defense in the NFL. But Kansas City did lose that game. They did have a chance to win that game at the end. And like you said, one drop ball that's been plaguing them all year probably cost them the game. My next point is Dallas for real this year? Or should people be actually scared of the Dallas Cowboys?
No. Cowboys do this every year. They come in.
They've looked good now. Zach has looked good. Dak Prescott has looked good. Come on now.
You are correct. They put on a show in regular season. It's almost like James Harden during the regular season. When it comes time for the playoffs, they have not made the NFC second round or the NFC championship in almost 30 years. And they do the same thing every year, which I'm happy with because I'm not a Cowboy fan and I want them to lose. And it makes me feel good when they lose and the Giants lose it. It kind of, gives me a better feeling. But I'm thinking the same way because the 49ers, without a doubt, have a better team, they got a better defense. I think their skill positions are equal or better. And I I don't know if they can beat the Eagles. The Eagles didn't play well. The Cowboys had a chance to win a couple weeks ago, but they came up short. So I think the same thing's going to happen, and I'll be pleased if it does. Do you think the Cowboys are legitimate, C-Dub?
What they're showing me is that they are legit. Defense is humming along. Given the injuries, losing one of their best defensive players for the year, they have come back stronger than I would have expected, especially after their two losses after that injury. So I'm impressed. Dak is impressing me. He's still making mistakes. He's thrown his weekly interception, but he's come back, and if he can kind of control that, I might be a believer. I'm not a believer yet because he's still making the silly errors, but there may be hope yet. I'm not a Dallas fan, but they are looking good. Let's turn our attention to the NFC North and Detroit. I mean, it was a shaky game this week. I don't consider them a juggernaut. They are good to great team, but they're not. I don't know if they're in the same category as a Philly or a 49er conversation, where I think it's the Eagles and 49ers, and Detroit is probably a step below. I wouldn't put them on the same tier as Eagles, but they are a legit team. And outside of those other two teams, they're a tough out.
Well, see, the thing that I have to look at is they got blown out a couple weeks ago, and they went back to the drawing board, and then next week they come back and win, and they're leading their division. I think they have a better team they've had in a long time. I think at this point in the season, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. For some reason, I have a little bit of faith in Detroit because of their coach, Campbell, that they're going to improve and get better. They got a good quarterback, a good running back, a good defense, and you never know what's going to happen. If they get a home field advantage because of their record, then you never know what could happen in those situations. Detroit, if that crowd gets going in the dome inside, that can make it tough for anybody. And I would love to see Detroit play Dallas in the dome because they do have a better record than the Cowboys, and to make it so loud that Dak can't hear. Now, Dak is, I have to agree with you, which I hate to do, he is playing his best ball ever. But when you come through in the clutch, that's when you show me what's all about. So that's what I'm anxious. But I like Detroit. Minnesota's still in it, too, because of Dobbs, the quarterback. He's shown me something. Green Bay, even though Love is there, I still don't believe in him. But he is improving, and they won last week. They still got a chance. But I think Detroit is the cream of the crop in that division.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Like I said, Minnesota is a great story. I still think they have a chance of making it to the playoffs. If they make it to the playoffs, they may have one of the best quarterback commodities, the cheapest quarterback commodity that you could ever wish for. Not having to pay a first round draft pick salary, got a lot of cap room for the next 3 to 5 years. I think three more years. Because I don't even know if he vested. So he may have three more years of being before he's become an unrestricted free agent. So that's a great pickup by Minnesota. It's exciting. But Detroit is the cream of the crop of that division. When you look at the NFC South, it's really a one-team race. It's like who's going to win? New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta. I don't think any of those teams scare anybody. So when you look at that, obviously one team will make it out of that division. I think only one team will make it out of that division. And it's a fight between New Orleans and Atlanta, but you got to be careful. I mean, New Orleans and Tampa, I believe. But Atlanta is right there with Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay and Atlanta are both 4-6. New Orleans is 5-5. That division is really anybody's division.
Yeah, I kind of like New Orleans under Derek Carr because when he's healthy, he's pretty good. And they got some great skill positions in Mike Thomas, and the running back is pretty good. Tampa Bay, like I told you before, I'm never a fan of Mayfield, and I'm going to tell my reasons. As you know, he went to Texas Tech where I went, and then he got mad because he got hurt, and then Patrick Mahomes comes in and takes his job. And so he transfers to Oklahoma, wins the Heisman, number one pick in the draft, and I think he's a disappointment. That's just my thought process. But I don't think Tampa Bay can do it with him because he didn't show he could do it when he had a great situation in Cleveland. As far as Atlanta, I don't think they have a good quarterback. The running game is pretty good with the number one draft choice out of Texas, but I don't think they have a chance at all. This is the point again when teams have got to step up, because we've only got 7 games left in the season. If you're going to make your move, you could do it now. New Orleans is 5-5, as you said. They win 4 out of 7 or 5 out of 7. I think they got it easily. I don't know if they'll do good in the playoffs, but because they're not one of the better teams. But I think it's going to be interesting for them because this is their first time having Derek Carr.
Yeah, now let's turn our attention to the NFC, NFC West. And obviously San Francisco is the king of the hill in NFC West. Seattle is right behind them. I don't think Seattle is in the same category with San Francisco. I do believe San Francisco will make the playoff. I mean, Seattle will make the playoffs. And as far as the West is concerned, it's really a one-team race with Seattle making it to the playoffs. And so would any quick comments on that?
Which is really funny because Arizona is starting to make a move. Maybe if Kyler Murray had been there, you know, quicker or sooner, they'd be in a better position. San Francisco is the cream of that division. McCaffrey still leading the NFL in rushing. Their quarterback, Birdie, is doing really well. I thought maybe since he had a bad game a few weeks back when they had that 3-game losing streak that he had lost it. But he showed me last week they've won 2 in a row now, and they really look dynamite. And Seattle, I like them also because Pete Carroll's a great coach. Geno Smith is having his best year in the NFL. So I think it's going to come down to San Francisco and Seattle playing. And I think San Francisco is going to show them that they got a great defense. And I need San Francisco to perform well so that when the Cowboys step up, they can do it easily like they've done in the past.
And my question to you, and you brought it up, Kyler Murray, he's looked great. He reminds me of wanting to see Vic. He has to be must-watch TV because every time he gets the ball, he's excited. So even though they haven't done much, but they were believed to be tanking for one of those top quarterbacks. But we already said there's a lot of question marks about those top quarterbacks coming out or potentially coming out in the draft. Would you keep Kyler Murray as your starting quarterback if you're Arizona, or would you be looking to draft a quarterback in this upcoming draft?
Well, see, I have a problem, and my dad always told me he liked tall quarterbacks. And see, someone being 5'10" is hard for me because you can't see over the linemen. Most linemen are around from 6'3" to 6'6", and you can't see over them. So you got to throw underneath them like Patrick Mahomes does, or you got to figure out another way to do it. And don't get me wrong, you know, I think he's a talent, but I don't think he's the guy who can bring you to the Super Bowl, especially in that division with San Francisco and Seattle. So I don't know what to say, but I don't think you can go and try to get a younger quarterback. He's only in his 4th or 5th year at the most. So he can definitely improve with good coaching. My problem, again, is that he's in a tough division and he's too small.
Okay, and now let's turn our attention to the AFC. Obviously, AFC East, you got Miami, the Bills, the Jets are your top 3 teams. Jets, we don't need to talk about the Jets. We've talked about the Jets. But between Miami and Buffalo Bills, do you believe what you're reading or what you're seeing? They've won their last 2 games. Do you think that they are putting themselves in a position to be that elite team that everybody thought they were when the season started?
With the last 2 victories, and the other one was against the Jets, they look really good. If Josh Allen doesn't turn the ball over, they have a chance to win. You got to bring him in. They changed offensive coordinators, and you see it helped because he took what the defense gave. He did the short passes, the dump offs. And if he continues to do that, it's a quarterback league, like we talked before. If he can do that, Buffalo's got a chance to step up in the division. The problem is the other teams in division. Baltimore's got a good team. I'm counting Cincinnati out because of their quarterback being injured. So, it's going to be tough with Pat Mahomes in there. You know, he's a defending champion. So it's going to be tough for Buffalo. When Brian Daboll was there, Buffalo played Kansas City, and Buffalo played. It was one of the great games in football. Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen went mano-mano. And I think because Brian Daboll was there. The problem is Brian Daboll's not there now, so who's going to keep Josh Allen reeled in? But I still think Buffalo has a good chance. Miami, I just think their offense is just must-see TV. I mean, they play, you don't ever know what they're going to do it offensively. And Tua, I got to get my hat off to him. He's had a pretty good year, and that's why Miami is leading the division up there. But I don't know if they can sustain because it's going to come down to Buffalo going to Miami.
Yeah, as we wrap up this segment, I want to look at the NFC playoff picture. If you and not worrying about the Eagles, the Lions, or the 49ers. We talked about them. Obviously, the Saints are leading their division. But are you surprised that the Falcons and Buccaneers, as bad as they played, are still in the playoff hunt?
Well, so that's the great thing about the NFL because, you know, there's a lot of teams that are even. And if you step up sometime in the latter part of the season, you can make a big run. The year the Giants won the Super Bowl, I think they were 9-7 or something like that. And they began to get some momentum, and that led them all the way through victories to Green Bay Packers on the road. And Eli had a great time at the end. So, you know, you can start to do that anytime. The hot team will make the playoffs and do well. The Philadelphia Eagles, Charles, as you know, they said they're not playing their best ball yet. This is when you start to do that. If Philadelphia gets better and starts getting better every week, this might be it. For them winning in Kansas City like they did, even though it was a couple of mistakes by Kansas City, to play on the road and win, I mean, that's a momentum changer. So I just think that Miami has a chance to do it. I think Buffalo and Miami coming down the stretch. If Josh Allen doesn't make a mistake, I think Buffalo would do it.
Yeah, and then when you turn our attention to the playoff picture for the AFC, I think the surprising team for everyone in the NFL, or if you're an NFL fan, has to be the Houston Texans, coming off a season where they only won two games their entire year. Rookie coach, rookie quarterback, they are 7-3 and have the sixth spot in the AFC playoff picture. When you look at them, I think they have a really good chance of actually trying to win their division. They if they can have at least 3 to 4 more games, they will definitely have a chance to make the playoffs. But I want to talk about the rest of the team, because the AFC, eight teams all within one loss of each other. And so when you have so much disparity from an AFC standpoint, if one of these teams get on a run, you can maybe have the Raiders actually jump all the way up and claim a playoff spot, and the Steelers, who currently own the last spot in the playoffs right now, could actually be kicked out of a playoff spot for the second time in 2 years.
Well, see, the Raiders, they won two in a row against the two New York teams, the Jets and the Giants, and then they lost last week. This is a big week for them. Must win for them, because you'll fall further behind in the division. Because like I said, I'm not a Charger fan only because their coach makes bad decisions. I think there's a lot of teams that could do it, and it's time to do it now, because if you start to get better from week to week now, it's going to bring momentum to every part of your team, your offense, your defense, and your special teams. So I look for the Houston Texans to really step up. I have my two sisters, they live in Houston. They're Texans fans. They got season tickets, and they tell me that CJ is the real deal. And what I like about him is that he's not making rookie mistakes. And see, you got to have – Lovie Smith was the coach last year, and I thought he deserved to come back this year because he has set up the defense. The new head coach from the 49ers has done a supreme job, maybe up for coach of the year. And I just think it's going to be fun if they continue to improve, because when you play good defense and you got a quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, you always got a chance.
Absolutely. It's going to be an exciting team. This is why the NFL is the most watched professional sport in America, because it's exciting each and every week. Every game counts. And I just can't wait for the weeks to come and see how this shakes out. But you're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Teller and Charles Show Me the Way, here on NFLAlumniMedia.com, live streaming. And check us out on YouTube every day. You can check out if you miss us each and every day. But we have a lot more to come. We're going to go through our picks for the upcoming week, let you know where we see the Giants and Jets ending up at the end of this week. But we'll be right back on this Thanksgiving Day weekend. Talk to you in a little bit. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way here on this Thanksgiving Day weekend, where we all are going to enjoy some festivities with family, friends, and enjoy all of that really good food and watch some NFL football games. BT, before we go into our week 11 scheduled picks, check this out. What do you think about the Black Friday game where and this Miami Dolphins and the New York Jets on Black Friday, first NFL game on Black Friday? Do you think this taken away from the prestige of college that being a college football day?
Absolutely. Because Thanksgiving Day is the NFL. They got, you know, three games on NFL. Cowboys are there every year. And then all of a sudden you go on Friday, which is the college day, and they're doing it because it's Black Friday. The NFL is taking so many days. They're taking Monday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday. And I'm trying to figure, you know, do you burn people out on that? As you said before, the NFL is the hottest commodity in sports out there. And maybe they're taking too advantage of it, because I don't know. We'll just see if it happens, because, you know, that's the day after Thanksgiving when people, you know, are kind of laid back. They're full from eating. So maybe it's a good time for them to watch a good NFL game.
They picked a good game to watch. Miami Dolphins, high flying, high power. You said it, offense versus the New York Jets, who just changed their quarterback. Can Tim Boyle be the savior up until Aaron Rodgers comes back? Hopefully, mid to late December, we will see that and a lot more. But let's get to our first game: Packers versus the Lions. Your boy Love is actually doing an admirable job. They are winning some games. They're back in the playoff picture. Is this a concern for the Lions? Do you think the Packers have a chance of beating the Lions in Detroit this week?
If Detroit steps up like they're supposed to, they're getting better every week. It should be a no-brainer. They should beat the Packers, no squabs.
All right, so you're going with Detroit?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I'm going with the Lions. How about Commanders, Cowboys? It's Cowboys all the way for me after that showing. But remember what I told you. These are the games that Washington somehow finds a way to win and Cowboys figure out a way to lose. But it's Thanksgiving. Cowboys like winning on Thanksgiving. I'm going with the Cowboys.
Well, the Commanders didn't show me anything last week. As a matter of fact, I was a little disappointed in their performance, and maybe we're going to see if they're as bad as I think they are. I don't think the Cowboys are going to let up at all. And I think the Cowboys will roll easily in that game and keep their momentum, thinking that they can get to the Super Bowl.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
The next game is the 49ers versus the Seahawks. The 49ers have been on a roll since they've gotten all of their players back. I think they're the number two team in the entire league. I love what Seattle is doing, but they can't compete with that San Francisco 49er team. I think they could have competed before they got all of their injured guys back, but now that everybody's healthy, I don't think they can compete. I'm going with the 49ers.
Are they playing in San Francisco or in Seattle?
In Seattle.
Well, the Seattle's got a chance because they've been known for the 12th man. Their crowd is one of the best in the NFL. That will be the reason it could be a close game. It's a divisional game. Those are pretty close. I'm going to go with Seattle because they need the game badly if they're going to still compete to have a chance for the division. So I'm going to go opposite and go Seattle.
Okay. Next game, Dolphins versus the Jets in New York. Dolphins coming up. Hopefully, for the Jets' sake, hopefully it'll be cold on Friday. But that Jets defense better show up this week because they're going to have to. I think Tim Boyle will be a pleasant surprise for the Jets. You know, I think this may be an upset. This is going to be a roll. I think this is going to be the beginning of a run that the Jets go on. They're going to run off like three or four straight wins. So I'm picking the Jets.
I'm going to go with the Jets also because I think their defense can stay with Miami. And I think if Tim comes in and moves the chains, and that's been a rarity since the Jets were able to, keep the defense off the field. If they let their defense come in well-rested, then I think the Jets have a chance. So I'm going to go with the Jets with you.
Okay, Patriots versus the Giants. This is a home game for the Giants. I love what they did last week. I didn't love the 9 sacks that they gave up. Hopefully they can clean that up. Hopefully they can get their running game going a little bit earlier. I'm going to go with the Giants.
Well, see, the thing about it is that, you know, Bill Belichick always has something, you know, for the Giants. He just seems like he always does. And, he doesn't lose to them very often except for Super Bowls. But I think this is the worst New England team that we've seen in a long time. Belichick has heard the rumors. We're going to see what happens. So I'm going to go with New England only because Belichick is one of those guys, you know.
Okay. Our next game is the Steelers and the Bengals. Obviously, both teams are struggling a little bit. I think the Steelers have a better defense. I don't know. Are you sold on Pickett for?
Not at all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, his immobility is killing me.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't believe this. The Steelers are 6-4.
Go in there and ask them what time.
The Steelers are 6-4 because of their defense and because of a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pathetic offensively. I mean, the guy Pickett, I mean, you think they with Najee Harris at running back and the receivers that they should be having a easier time. But for some reason, the offense, and they fired the offensive coordinator who was this first time, I think, in a long many years, it might be over 30-something years since the Steelers fired somebody in the middle of the season. So that is drastic move for Mike Holmgren. Mike Holt, you know, he's just a great guy.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Steelers. I don't see how the Bengals can come back. They're playing with a backup quarterback that doesn't have a ton of experience and hasn't won many games. So I'm picking the Steelers.
I think the Steelers will win because of the Joe Burrow's being out.
Yeah, Titans, Jaguars. Titans having a rough season. I know they still have Derrick Henry. But I'm going to go with the Jaguars. I don't see Tennessee beating the Jaguars.
What kind of team you get me in?
I like the Jaguars. They may be fading, though, Charles. That's the problem. You know, I like Trevor Lawrence. I think he's one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks, but their team is not coming up in the stretch like teams are supposed to. They still have a chance to win in the division, but I'm going to go with Jacksonville only because it's a must-win.
Yeah. I am sorry. I mixed it up. So Jaguars playing the Texans. I messed that up. So this So here is the game. You know what? This should be the game of the week, because the game of the week, Chiefs, Raiders, Bills. Bills, Eagles, Chiefs, Raiders. Those are pretty good ones too. But this has to be one of the most exciting games. You got Trevor Lawrence versus CJ Stroud. I'm not ever going against the Texans. I don't think this year. So I'm picking the Texans against the Jaguars.
I'm gonna go with you on that because of the way they're getting better. Their defense is ready, and the offense is taking drives down the field where the defense comes in well rested. So I'm gonna go with the Texans only because they seem like they got it going.
Yeah, Buccaneers, Colts. You don't like Baker Mayfield. I like Baker Mayfield. I'm going with Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers versus the Colts, even though they're playing in Indianapolis.
I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts because I don't like Mayfield, and I think he's inconsistent as heck. And I think he's a letdown.
Okay, next game, Saints Falcons. They're playing in Atlanta. I think Atlanta may have a chance to beat the Saints. In this one, I'm going with the Falcons.
That game is up in the air with me, but I'll agree with you only because they got a good running game. And what's really something, Charles, is a lot of teams are going back to the running game like we wanted them to, because when things go bad, you go back to what you do best. So I'm going to go with Atlanta on that one.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Everybody's starting to run the ball. I'm still waiting for Saquon though to get 25 to 30 touches a game so he can be that lead dog that we all know he can be. So until that happens, I'm not believing it. And until they get a fullback in there, I'm not believing it. So they need to bring a fullback. So next game is Panthers versus the Titans. This is in Tennessee. Bryce Young has actually looked pretty good.
He is good, but he's too little.
But he's playing better. They may not be winning games. He's playing better. He had a good game last week, even though they lost. He had a good game. And the Titans are just struggling this year. This could be a good chance for the Panthers to get their second win of the season. I'm going with Carolina.
I think he's too little. And I think that. You know, if he takes a hit, he's smaller than Kyler Murray. So, I'm trying to figure he may crumble if he takes a hit. But they say he's got great potential and he's had some good games. But I don't know. And I don't, when you're 1-9, you're looking for any kind of hope. I'm going to agree with you and go with Carolina. I'm going to go with Tennessee. They're playing at home. Okay. And I think Tennessee's going to be better.
All right. Here we go. Rams versus the Cardinals. They're playing in Arizona. I'm a Kyler Murray fan. I love watching him. He reminds me of Michael Vick when he was in his prime, running around doing exciting different things, and that's what he does to the game. I'm going with the Cardinals.
I'm going with the Rams because they looked good last week. They got their quarterback back since he won the Super Bowl, and I think they're playing better ball now. And what you want people to do is down the stretch to get better. I'm going with the Rams.
Browns versus the Broncos. Surprisingly, Sean Payton has the Broncos playing well. He's turned that team around from the start of this season. The Browns actually, everybody was thinking when they lost to Sean Watson, they were going to go into the tank mode. This is a tough game. They're playing in Denver. I still don't like the way Russell Wilson looks as a quarterback. I love the Browns' defense. I don't think Russell Wilson has a chance against that defensive line. I'm going with the Browns.
Without Watson, I still think they're a pretty good team. And so that's why I would go with Cleveland on that. And I think the defense is outstanding. The guy Miles plays defensive end. He is one of the best in the league, probably up for defensive player of the year. I'm going with Cleveland.
All right. Chiefs versus the Raiders. This is going to be an old school game. Hopefully it is an old school game. One of those AFC West games that you watched on TV with, with your family, with your dad, when they were watching, you know, those old games, Cliff Branch and what was the quarterback for the Chiefs when Montana played for the Chiefs? Yep. Those old games. So this is, hopefully they can have a throwback. Raiders are playing in Las Vegas. Chiefs coming off a loss and they're looking to redeem themselves. You know what? I'm going to ride Antonio Pierce's hype. I'm going with the Raiders.
I'm going with the Chiefs because last week they should have beat Philly because of the drop passes. And I think anytime they lose, Patrick Mahomes has a great percentage of winning that next day. So he's very rarely lost a lot in the role. I'm going with the Chiefs.
Bills versus the Eagles. This is the game in which the Bills can show if they're for real or not. They did, like you said, they changed their offensive coordinator. Their defense has actually been playing really well the last few weeks. Let's see. This is going to be a real test. I'm going to go with the Bills to beat the Eagles just because I think it'll be a letdown out of a big win versus Kansas City last week.
I'm going opposite you because I think that the Bills, you know, maybe they get too high too quickly. And I think it's going to be a good game. I think Philly, you know, they may have a letdown because of them going to Kansas City, which is a rematch of the Super Bowl. And how can you come down from that? It should be easy. So I'm going with Buffalo.
All right, next game, Ravens versus the Chargers. I'm going with the Ravens. I just can't pick the Chargers ever.
Well, I told you I don't like the Chargers. I think the quarterback, I mean, the coach is on the hot seat. And if they don't win, he's got to go.
Our last game before we wrap up. And this is the Bears Monday Night Football game, Bears versus the Vikings. Josh Dobbs, who's having an amazing season, a great story. This is like a Disney story. Somebody better get the script out. But Justin Fields has actually been playing amazing. His last couple of times out, the man is throwing the ball well. I think this is the quarterback that everybody thought he would be. I'm curious to see how he plays. I'm hoping for the Vikings, but I want to see Justin Fields play well this game too. I'm going to pick the Vikings because I want to see them make the playoffs.
I'm taking the Vikings because they lost by 1 point last week. They had a chance to win. The quarterback is playing extremely well. The running game is going. So, like I said, I'm going with the Vikings on Monday night.
So that'll be good. Next week, Billy, we're going to probably have a guest. I'll be looking forward to hanging out with hopefully Bill Daughtry, where we can keep him in part of the conversation, get his thoughts and insights on the things that we discuss each and every week. So, BT, take us away.
Hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to all our fans. Don't eat too much, but have a good time. Got to thank Ben back in the studio. I hope he eats a lot of turkey and it feels good. Sometimes you eat turkey, you go to sleep, and I think that's what's going to happen to me. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the Expressway. For Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a great holiday.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.